Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
Today in particular is Pentecost Sunday. And if you don't know what that means, you will know what that means by the end of today. I'm really excited about what I believe God has spoken to me to share with you, but also just what he wants to do in this place. What I want to say up front is that if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, as your personal Savior, invited him to come into your heart, today is going to be a great day for you to have the opportunity to do that. And if you have never been filled with the power and the presence of the person of the Holy Spirit, today is going to be a great day for you to do that as well. As you plan all of your summer parties, I can almost guarantee you, thank you, Aaron, I'm good now. I can almost guarantee you that there is an awkward scenario that you are going to run into at some point over the coming weeks. Whether you're planning a party with your best friends or you're planning a party with your family members, you know that one person in the group that you're like, we just can't have a party without them. They have to be part of the party. And let me tell you the awkward scenario that will ensue, because everybody is not the person that you just have to have at the party. I know. Some people you're like, I'm glad for them to be there and I'd be happy for them to be there. I've invited them. I want them to be there. But the party will go on without them. But everybody has somebody in your life that you just can't have your party if they're not coming. I don't know if it's your favorite cousin. I don't know if it's your best friend from high school. I don't know if it's your neighbor. Whoever that person is for you, you can't have the party without them. And this is the awkward scenario that happens from time to time when you are planning a party, is that you send out messages and you're like, hey, we're thinking about getting together 3 weekends from now. And people start messaging back, that sounds great. I'll be there. That sounds great. I'll be there. That sounds great. I'll be there. And then your person that you can't have a party without messages back and says, oh, that weekend doesn't work for me. And you're like, well, scrap the whole thing, reschedule it, because we are not having a party without you. But here's where it gets awkward, is then someone else says on the new weekend, oh, I can't make it that weekend. And you're like, I can have a party without you. I need to plan my party. I don't know what it is about. I don't know if it's their jokes. I don't know if it's that you've got a crush on them. I don't know why you need the other person at the party. For me, it's always about food. My aunt makes a layered bean dip, Grandpa, doesn't she? She does. And it is fantastic. I need the bean dip at my party. Last week, she couldn't make it. Was that last week? She couldn't make it to Mother's Day because she had plans somewhere else. And I was like, move Mother's Day. I need the bean dip at my party this weekend. Andres makes an excellent guacamole. It is world renowned. I need the guacamole to be part of my party. There are just some people that you cannot have your party without them. And even more, there are some people that the party doesn't start until they arrive. Everyone else can be there. You've got the game set up. You've got the food laid out. It looks like all of the pieces of the party are there and are ready. People have arrived, but you're kind of wandering around waiting for the official partying to begin, to officially open up the festivities that you have planned, because in your mind, this party does not start until this person arrives. There are just some people that we can't start until they arrive, until they walk into the room. There's something about who they are that when they arrive, you go, now we can start. On this Pentecost Sunday, I want to talk to you about the thought that now we can start. That's what the arrival of the Holy Spirit meant. Pentecost Sunday is a Sunday that we celebrate 50 days after we celebrate Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday. There's a time of waiting in the in-between from when Jesus rises from the dead. He spends time with his disciples, then he ascends into heaven, and we wait 50 days, and when we come to that 50th day, we celebrate Pentecost as the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost Sunday is an announcement that now we can start. I want to look at some of Jesus' final words to his disciples. The synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke all recount this portion of scripture to us, giving us different angles of it. The synoptic gospel simply means that they are similar in the way that they approach the telling of Jesus. They likely shared similar sources when they were written to tell us the tale of who Jesus was and what his life on the earth was like. The gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you have ever read through these four gospels, you will notice quite quickly that Matthew, Mark, and Luke take a similar approach to the way that they tell us about who Jesus is, all of them emphasizing different things. But John takes a whole other take altogether. He has a different flow and a different emphasis. And so often, if you ever hear someone refer to the synoptic Gospels, think similar, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And today we are going to look at three portions of scripture from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 28, verses 18, starting in verse 18, these are the final words of Matthew's gospel. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" The next one we're going to look at is in Mark. We're looking at Mark 16, starting in verse 15. Mark 16, starting in verse 15 says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." The last one is in Luke. We're looking at Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, starting in verse 46, it says, "And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that the repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed for his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.'" Jesus has been walking around with his disciples in his new resurrected body, and he is preparing to ascend into heaven, where he will be seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. And he has some final instructions for his disciples on what it is that they are to do. And like you have probably heard before, and the verse that so many of us can quote, he tells them, "Your goal now, the thing that I want you to go out and start doing now, is to go into all the world, preaching the good news of the gospel, seeing people saved and baptized and discipled. This is the thing that you are to do." And he says, "But first, wait, because there's someone that you need. Before you can get this thing started of building my church, before you can get this thing started of declaring who I am, before you can get this thing started of building the thing that I have commissioned you to build, before this new era of the body of Christ in church form, in the ecclesia, the called out ones, before all of the conversions can happen, I need you to wait, because there's someone that's not here yet. And they have this awkward period in between where they are simply waiting to start. And like the good disciples that they are, they do as Jesus told them to do. Luke writes it for us in the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells us the story of the early church starting. Luke wrote Luke and he wrote Acts. It starts in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 12 is what we'll look at today. It says, "And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath's day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. And Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James," meaning not that Judas, but this Judas. Don't you feel bad for him? I'm like, I would be going by my middle name from now on. I can't be one of Jesus' disciples named Judas that's like, "But not that Judas," for the rest of my life. "All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. He told them, "When you see me depart, I want you to go and wait, because I'm sending someone else to you. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. I'm sending the counselor to you. I'm sending the helper to you to come alongside you. And I know that I've given you a purpose, and I know that I've given you a commission, and I know that I've given you a command, and I know that I've given you a plan. And I know that I've positioned you, and I know that I've assigned you, and I know that all of you are here and are ready and are waiting, but this thing can't really get started until someone else arrives." Can I tell you that there are things in your life that can't really get started until the Holy Spirit arrives? Until the Holy Spirit fills you from the uttermost. There are things that God has commissioned you to do and has said it's going to be the work of your life to go out and build this thing. It's going to be the work of your life to see this thing happening in your life. But it can't really happen until the Holy Spirit arrives. Who is this Holy Spirit? Father God, I understand in a general way that he is God the Father. And Jesus says, "I do nothing except for what I hear my Father do." That Jesus, as fully God and God as fully God, is the reflection of what God looks like walking around with skin on. So I can wrap my head around God, the creator of all things, the beginning and the end, the initiator of all things, the divine one seated in heavenly places who spoke in the beginning and brought creation into life. And I can start to wrap my head around Jesus, who is God, who came down to earth and wrapped himself in flesh and began to walk around demonstrating for us what the perfect life looks like, and began to then lay his life down for us as the one who would exchange himself in a great exchange for our sins and our condemnation that we could never put ourselves back into right relationship from. I can start to kind of wrap my head around who Jesus is and what that looks like. But who is this Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, who is the essence of God, who is fully God in the triune God being. He's described to us throughout Scripture as the breath of God, as the wind of God, as the source of all life. We see pictures of the Holy Spirit as fire coming to lead the people of God, coming to guide the people of God, coming to consume and purify the people of God. We see the Holy Spirit pictured for us as a dove that comes to give guidance, to give comfort, to tell us which way to go. We see that Jesus himself did not begin the ministry that God had sent him for and called him into until the person of the Holy Spirit came and descended on Jesus when he was baptized and then went out into the wilderness, that it was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that kickstarted Jesus' earthly ministry. Though he was already fully God, Jesus found that he needed the partnership of the Holy Spirit to do the work that God had called him to. This Holy Spirit that Jesus says, when I leave, he will come. Jesus calls him the counselor or the helper. He says, the Holy Spirit is coming to you for a purpose, to come and to be with you and to come and to infill you and to equip you for the thing that I have called you to. The Holy Spirit, who is not bound in earthly body like Jesus was, and can be in each of us all at the same time and extend the stretches of the earth. It's tough for me to wrap my brain around, but Jesus said, it's better for you that I leave, because I need to go so the Holy Spirit can come. Jesus said of himself, the Holy Spirit is the one that is better for you than I am. It's better for you that the Holy Spirit comes to you than it is for you that I stay. I can't wrap my brain around it sometimes, because I think if I could sit at a table with anyone, I'd want to sit at a table with Jesus. But Jesus said, it's better for you that I go and that you sit daily with the Holy Spirit, that there's one coming who will sit with you and will equip you and will infill you. The person of the Holy Spirit can be inside the life of every believer. The Holy Spirit is the one who's coming at Pentecost. And Jesus' final words to his disciples give us a couple of clues about the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming, about at least three things that we receive when the Holy Spirit comes. The first is presence. We receive the presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus says at the end of Matthew is, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But then he turns around and ascends into heaven. Like, if I'm Matthew, I'm like, I don't think we mean the same thing by that, Jesus. You just literally left me. But Jesus' point is that I am going so the Holy Spirit can come. And as a triune God, the Holy Spirit and I are one. And when the Holy Spirit comes, what we receive is the very presence of God in the life of every believer. It means everywhere that I go, his presence goes with me. It means that everywhere that I am, his presence is there with me. It means that when I wake in the morning, his presence is there with me. It means when I lay my head down at night, his presence is there with me. It means when I walk into my boardroom, his presence is there with me. It means when I stand up to lecture in my class, his presence is there with me. It means when I walk down the aisles at the grocery store, his presence is there with me, that I don't have to wait until the doors of a building are opened, that I just call on the name of the Holy Spirit and his presence fills my life. His presence permeates everything that I do, and his presence is part of every place that I go and everywhere that I walk. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Means that his presence is always there, that he's there to comfort you in the moments when you feel down, and he's there to celebrate you with you in the moments that you feel up, that he is leading and guiding and guarding in absolutely everything that you do. The Holy Spirit is always with us. Available to every believer is the presence of God. I just want to make sure that we get how big this is, because even sometimes for us, we tend to think that it's when I come to the house of God that I can experience his presence. And I hope that you do experience his tangible presence when you come to this place. But when Jesus was declaring this thing, the only time and the only people who experienced the presence of God were the elite few, the priests who were allowed to go behind the veil to offer sacrifice and to minister. The average person who followed God had never experienced the presence of God. And Jesus says, I'm sending someone to you that's no longer trapped behind the veil, and that's no longer held exclusive for those who are in a certain class. I'm sending someone to you that is available to every believer. If you became a believer and a follower of Jesus yesterday, the power of his presence is available to you. If you become a believer today at the end of this service, his presence is available to you. You can wake up in your room in the morning and say, Holy Spirit, I'm glad that you're here with me, and feel his presence come flooding in your room. I hope that we never take for granted the presence of God that is available to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. The other thing that we receive when the Holy Spirit comes is that we receive power. The Holy Spirit comes to give power to the life of the believer. When he's speaking to Mark, Mark remembers how he says, all of these signs are going to follow my people. He says to Luke at the very end, wait there until the Holy Spirit comes to give you power from on high. There is a power that comes into the life of a believer for the thing that God has called you to, for the living out of the Christian life. There is a power that comes on the inside of us, and the Holy Spirit leads us and empowers us in the way of right living. He empowers us to see our lives line up with who Jesus is and what God has for us. He empowers us from on high to see the fruit of the Spirit begin to grow and develop in our life. His power comes into our life and begins convicting us of things that are outside of God's great plan and purpose for your life and the way that he has called you and destined you to live. There is a Spirit of God that comes with power to empower you to have miraculous signs and wonders working in the life of every believer, to open your mouth with prophecy and extend your hand with healing on the inside of it, to pray in unknown tongues and connect with the power and the presence of God. There is a power that comes from on high. Can I tell you that you were not intended to just say yes to Jesus and go on living a normal, boring, ordinary life, but the life of a believer was designed and called and destined to be a life filled with his power, a life filled with his purpose, a life filled walking around looking to demonstrate the majesty and the grandeur and the awesomeness of who this God is. That there is a strengthening that comes when the Holy Spirit comes. There is a power that comes when the Holy Spirit comes. There is an infilling that comes when the Holy Spirit comes. And it should fill you with something that causes tangible evidence of his presence in your life. It should fill you with something that says, I can't go on living the life that I lived before, because there's something burning in me. There's something stirring in me. There's a new kind of power living in my life. There's a new kind of fervency living in my life. I feel something on the inside of me, and it wasn't there before. I feel something on the inside of me, and it didn't come from something that I conjured up on my own or that I made on my own. There's something on the inside of me that came straight from the throne room of heaven that has the ability to declare a thing and see it come to pass, that has the ability to see captives set free, that has the ability to see chains fall off, that has the ability to see sickness shriveled up, that has the ability to cast out fear and depression, that has the ability to encourage and to uplift, to exhort the body of believers. There is a gift that God has placed on the inside of you, and it's waiting for the Holy Spirit to fill you and activate that thing, to see a body of believers filled and equipped and moving and declaring who He is everywhere they go. There is a power that comes when the Holy Spirit comes from on high. There is a power available to you, and He sends His power for a reason. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, there is a proclamation coming in the earth. The Holy Spirit comes to be our helper in proclaiming who Jesus is, in proclaiming the good news of the gospel, in proclaiming repentance of sins, turning in a new direction and saying, I'm going after a life of following Jesus. When Jesus left them, He said, I have work left for you to do. There is something left for you to do. And the thing that I have for you to do is to go into all the world. Get absolutely everywhere that you can and proclaim the repentance of sin and the forgiveness of those sins through the person of Jesus Christ. But He says, but wait. I know you're excited. I know you're ready. I know you're all here, but you can't start. You can't start building my church. You can't start proclaiming this thing. You can't start telling everybody everywhere about it until the Holy Spirit arrives. Because when the Holy Spirit arrives, you will be filled with presence and you will be filled with power. And His presence and His power will equip you for proclaiming who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives so that everywhere we go, we can begin to declare, we can begin to proclaim, we can begin to announce that Jesus is here. And the life you are living, you don't have to live it anymore. The heaviness you've been under, you don't have to be under it anymore. The shame that holds you and binds you and condemns you, you don't have to live under it anymore, because Jesus covered the cross and there's a whole new direction for your life. There's a whole new path that you can walk in, and all it takes is receiving Him. And the power of the Holy Spirit equips us for this proclamation of who Jesus is. And so the disciples head into the upper room. They gather in Jerusalem like Jesus told them to do. They make sure everybody is there, and they wait. I'm sure that it got awkward. We know how much Peter likes action. He must have been itching. Jesus told him, you're going to be the head of my new church that I'm starting. I need you to spearhead everything. And Peter was like, that's a spot I was made for. You need me to go out front and talk, Jesus? I got you. This is the role I was born for. And then Jesus was like, well, hold up. I need you to wait first. And Peter was like, that part's not really my thing, Jesus. That's not normally what I do. I'm more of the jump out on the water kind of guy. And Jesus is like, I know. But if you go in your own strength, it's not going to go like you think it's going to go. If you step out too soon, it's not going to go like you think it's going to go. If you start this party before everybody's here, it's not going to be set up right. I need you to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. I'm sending you one. And in Acts chapter 2, they've been waiting in the upper room. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Can I tell you there is power when we are all together in one place? It doesn't just mean that they were simply in the room. It means that their hearts were together, that they were leaned in together, that they were together with expectation and hope that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. Something happens when people gather all together in one place, and suddenly, it didn't take a long time once the Holy Spirit was ready to come. It didn't take their angsting it out. It didn't take their begging and pleading. It says, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and it divided tongues as a fire appeared to them, and it rested on each one of them. Not one of them was left without the power of the Holy Spirit, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, filled from their tops and filled to their bottoms, not left with just a piece and not left with just a portion. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. On the day of Pentecost, it says, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came flooding into the room like a rush, like a mighty wind, and it filled every single one of them. And from that day until now, the power and the presence and the proclamation of the Holy Spirit has been available to every believer who dares to say, God, will you fill me in the way that you filled them? I want to walk with your tangible presence. I want to be filled with your power. I want to proclaim who you are. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. He came into the room, and it says suddenly he filled them. And those disciples looked at each other and they said, now we can start. Now we can start. Now this party gets started. Because what it says next is Peter went out of that room and he found himself in a street, and he preached a message proclaiming the gospel and the goodness and the faithfulness and the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said to them, any of you who want to be convicted in your heart, turn and repent. And it says thousands of them said, I want to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Thousands of them said, I want to be a person who walks in the power. And he said, very good, then repent, be baptized, and today be filled with the Holy Spirit. The party got started, and let me let you know, it has never stopped since then. The Holy Spirit is still filling. The Holy Spirit is still present. The Holy Spirit is still powerful. The Holy Spirit is still proclaiming in the life of every believer. The Holy Spirit is in this room right now, moving in this room, convicting hearts and minds and souls. The Holy Spirit has been here since before you walked in, as people prayed this morning for an open space, as people prayed throughout this week that the Holy Spirit would move in this place. If you're able to, I'm going to invite you to stand in this room as the Holy Spirit is moving all across this room. The first thing I want to make way for, create space for, is for people to say, I want to become a believer. I recognize that I can't do my life all by myself, and I recognize that on my own, there are a lot of mistakes that I make, and I recognize that this path back to relationship with God is not something I can muster and I can grit up all by myself. And I want to come into a relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is moving in your life right now, drawing you into Jesus. I'm going to ask everyone who can to repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I thank you for who you are. And I invite you into my life. I thank you for your life. I thank you for your death. And I thank you for your resurrection. And starting today, I want to be in relationship with you. In Jesus' name, Amen. If you just prayed that prayer and you know that you prayed it and you meant it, it was the first time you prayed it or it's the first time you've prayed it in a long time, can you just shoot your hand up straight in the air for me and acknowledge? I see you guys up there. I see you guys back there. I see you all across this room. Hands are going up. Come on, just shoot them straight up so we can celebrate with you what God is doing in your life. We want to walk with you all across the bed. The Holy Spirit was in the balcony today. Amen. Amen. The best day of your life will be the day that you invite Jesus into your life and into your heart and surrender to a life of following him. The next thing I want to do is I want to pray for people to be filled with the power, the presence, the person, the proclamation of the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing. There's this verse in Acts 19 where Paul comes to these believers and he says to them, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And they say, we don't know about a Holy Spirit. Nobody told us about a Holy Spirit. First of all, that's why I'm so passionate about being a church that talks about the person of the Holy Spirit. There are people who are not experiencing him because no one has told them that the tangible presence of God is available to them. He says, well, what did you get saved into? And they said, John's baptism, which is a baptism of a repentance from sins and an acceptance of the forgiveness of the one who would come, which is Jesus. They said, we've been saved, but we haven't been filled. And Paul said to them, well, I have good news for you today. I'm going to lay hands on you and you are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And maybe you find yourself in that position today. Either you just prayed that prayer and you're saying, that's me. I've been saved, but I don't know that I've been filled. Or maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, but you say, I don't know that I have been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I want that in my life. I want to live with his presence and I want to live with his power. If that's you saying, today I want to be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, just raise your hand right where you are. I want to pray with you today. I see hands going up that the presence of the Holy Spirit is going to fill your life. The presence of the Holy Spirit is going to fill your life. I'm going to give you one more minute because I know I'm not going to invite you down front. Some of you are like, I don't want to raise my hand because she might tell me to come down front. I'm not going to invite you down front. Raise your hand right where you are. If you're saying, today I want to be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. I've been a believer for a minute, but I don't know that I could say that I'm filled with his presence. Leave your hand up nice and confident, nice and strong. I see you, sir. Well, there you go. You almost didn't make it. Just kidding. All right, now this is what I want. If you're a believer in this room and you know that you're filled with the person of the Holy Spirit, look around you, find someone with their hands lifted. Ask them if they mind if you put your hands on their shoulders. And we're going to pray together, believing that the Holy Spirit is about to fill people all across this room. We don't have to fight for it and we don't have to contrive it. He wants to fill you. He wants to fill you. All you have to do is receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Believers, pray over those people that you're with right now that the Holy Spirit is filling them. Rising up in this place. together, all together, gathered in one place. We stand in agreement and we thank you that you sent us the counselor to be with us. Holy Spirit, we honor you. We honor your presence. We honor your power. We honor your proclamation. And we say that we want to live lives surrendered to it. So for every person across this room who has said, Holy Spirit, won't you fill me? I speak right now that a suddenly wind is moving in this place, but by the laying on of hands of other believers, the Holy Spirit is coming in power into your life. The Holy Spirit is coming in power into your life right now. The Holy Spirit is coming in power into your life right now. In the name of Jesus, we declare it. We stand in agreement and we thank you for what you're doing in this place. Today, let me tell you with clarity and with confidence that the Holy Spirit has filled you. When you leave here, the enemy does not want you to have access to that presence, that power, or that proclamation. And so he will whisper lies to you like you didn't really receive anything, or it didn't show up in your life the way you thought it was going to, or the way that it showed up in someone else's life. But stand in confidence that you have been filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then ask God for the evidences that he wants to reveal in your life. In a prayer language, in an unknown tongue, in prophetic dreams rising up, in words for people around you, in healing moving in your hands, in words of wisdom and words of knowledge, the Holy Spirit is going to begin to activate in your life. God, we thank you for what you've done in this room today. I thank you for the infilling of your Spirit, and I just seal it with all of the authority you've placed in me, in the lives and in the hearts of those around us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Church, let's celebrate those who were saved today. Let's celebrate those who received the Holy Spirit today. Happy Pentecost Sunday, church.